Blog Talk Radio.
Stephen Smith said that
they just gave up, and they probably did. Which brings into question whether or not LeBron James is going to stay with the franchise or seek his fortune elsewhere, much like he did when he went to Florida, Miami, the Miami Heat. Thought he liked it down there. I mean, I loved him when he was playing for Florida. I don't like him now with Cleveland, but, you know, unfortunately, he doesn't have a team there. You know, consistent like Golden State has. So, you know, I think the die is cast there. At any rate, I've been following The Wire, and I hope you guys have as well. Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Coolest the Clown, is in Singapore for the summit with Kim Jong-un, Premier of North Korea, for some supposed denuclearization talks. And the news that's coming over the wire is that Trump plans to depart early from his summit, apparently 15 hours early. So you can read that either way, you know, knowing this guy. You know, he's such a liar. It's probably not going the way he expected, you know, in preliminary talks that he's had I believe they've met already and will continue to meet throughout the day, you know, taking breaks and conferring with aides and coming back and meeting and, you know, back and forth all day long. You know, that's how these things usually play out. And he's not getting the outcome that he sought, which is this grand sweeping, you know, agreement by North Korea to simply give up their nuclear weapons, which is their security blanket, and that's simply not going to happen. It's illogical that they would do something so drastic just on a bit, you know, especially given this guy who tore up the Rand deal, the Paris Treaty, and I can go on and on, NAFTA. Nobody believes him. I mean, he has destroyed America's credibility in the world, you know. So we're going to see how it goes the rest of the day. And, you know, I doubt anything good comes of it. I don't fear. I don't fear anything or any man or anything on this earth. But I do have, you know, people that I love and care about that, you know, I want to see reach their potential and grow, and you know that can't happen if the planet is engulfed in a nuclear conflagration as a consequence of tin pot dictators, fragile eagle, being tarnished by his failure at this summit, and you know, he can rain down fire and fury, as he said previously, on North Korea, but North Korea is not a pushover, as a million-man army has conventional weapons that are trained on South Korea. Seoul, as a matter of fact, which is, you know, a densely populated city, would wreak havoc in that area and precipitate World War III. There's no doubt about it. China would come in. Russia would come in as a proxy. And we would have a fight on our hands. I mean, it would really, it would, it, I mean, I don't know. I was listening to another show. I really watched the show. They used to be on MSNBC years ago before I cut the cord, but I never watched them. And they had left, and they had replaced it with another show that I did watch. I believe it was Al Sharpton's show when he was still on Daily on MSNBC. At the primetime slot, 6 o'clock, before they removed him. And gave him the Sunday morning 8 o'clock show. And so I, you know, for whatever reason, they were on social media, and I decided to listen to a couple of their podcasts. And they're really well-informed, professional journalists, and they were talking about a lot of things, a lot of issues of concern to the African-American or the black community. And one of the things that they were talking about is, they talk a lot about racism, obviously, and about police brutality and this sort of thing. And we touched on that last week, during last week's show. I mean, you know, we were guys in his garage. And we actually spoke about that. In Florida, of course, in his garage, playing music allegedly too loud, a woman that's picking up her child from a school that... that is only around the block, and this is the thing about racism. How, you know, whites feel that they can insert themselves in the black folk business, whether she knew he was black or not. It's the same. It's a difference without distinction. So the police shoot Mr. Vaughn. His name was Gregory Vaughn Hill Jr. And they said that proximal negligence, it's a legal term. In other words, he had caused his own death. So the officer was let off, obviously. I mean, you know, this is par for the course. This is not unusual. And during a civil trial, because of this finding of proximal negligence, that he had essentially, by shutting his garage door on his property, I mean... It just boggles the mind because this is Fourth Amendment all day, man. I just, how are these, you know, I know. Anyway. You know, I've been in situations in personal and professional capacity where I have been confronted by police for whatever reason. I'm not a lawbreaker. It's just been unfortunate, you know. And I'm middle-aged, so, you know, you kind of expect that, you know, you're going to encounter the police doing a routine traffic stop or that sort of thing, and typically that's what it's been. And they've gone a number of ways. They've, they've almost resulted in my arrest to the officer being kind enough to push me off the road when my car broke down once. So, you know, it ranges the gamut. It just depends on the cop, but... You know, I had a situation where I was working. I was employed by the state of New York as a social worker. I lived in this really remote area of Ulster County. And that's a whole long story. I could give a whole show on that. The landlord's let me slow up. The landlord was a retired state employee. And, some of my colleagues knew I was traveling. I was still traveling from the city to work every day. I had just gotten hired. And so, you know, people would ask me to stay over their houses and stuff like that. And I, you know, most of the time I'd be here, you know, I just took the 90-mile drive. I mean, you know, put a lot of mileage on my vehicle. Because I was doing that every day for at least, you know, 6, 7, 8 months until, they finally got this woman to offer me this loft. She had a beautiful, I mean, it was really, you know, it was an old train station, a hotel or something like that. She converted, I don't know what it was, initially, originally, but she converted into like a loft. It looks like an old attic or something like that. Really noisy because, you know, it was all kind of things in the rafters, and I never peeked back there to see what was in there. But it was beautifully appointed. She had done a good job on it. Most of the work she did herself. His name was Johnny. Very nice person. She had this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful daughter that was completely insane. I kid you not. So the daughter used to live in a loft, and I came in, and she was actually in my living space, and I was stunned. You know, see this gorgeous, beautiful woman sitting on my table. They were completely out of never mind. And, you know, other things that transpired that, you know, like, anyway, I can't get into it. It's just too disgusting. So, you know, I asked her to leave, and she did. And I went downstairs, and I was going to tell her mother, and she apparently had broken into her mother's apartment as well. And I thought I was talking to her mother. I was saying, hey, this is not cool. You know, somebody was, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm actually talking to her. I don't realize it because she only has the door cracked. So anyway, long story short, the local police department shows up. I believe it was Ulster County. I'm not really sure. But a little town I was living in, a two-man force, two, three-man force. So the guy comes up. I don't see his rank or anything. You know, I'm angry, I'm agitated, I'm sort of frightened because here I am, a black man, and here's this young white girl, you know, in my house, and then she leaves, thank God. And so he's banging on my door and all kind of stuff like that. And I said, yeah, well, what is it, man? And he was like, well, you know anything? And I said, yeah, well, you know, she broke into my house, and then she broke into her mother's house down there, apparently, and I don't know where she went. And so he's questioning me and asking me about my car. I said, wait a minute, man. I said, listen, I already explained to you I have nothing to do with this. I don't know where she went. I told you what had happened. And so, you know, I get on the phone and I call the county up and I have to speak to district attorney or whatever they call the district attorney up there. And guy was very brusque, but he did give me, he said, well, you know, if you don't want him on your property, you know, you just ask for the chief and whatever. So, like I said, it was a two- or three-man force. So I asked the guy, I said, well, is your name so-and-so? He said, yeah. Well, I said, why is this on the phone with Ulster County? And they said, that's you, and I'm asking you to leave my property. And this is what I don't understand about these incidents, especially an incident like this, which is why I would never live in Florida or the Deep South or anything like that. That if you ask, even if they're investigating a crime, you have the absolute right to ask the police to leave. And I don't understand these situations. And it happened in Maryland. I remember being over my cousin's house and actually getting in a debate with the woman who it occurred. You know, apparently this is in Baltimore City. And I know I'm jumping around, but those that have listened to the show, listen to the show on a routine basis, know I'll eventually come back to the point that I'm trying to convey. So apparently the woman, my cousin was dating this woman. She was much older than him, but, well, not much older, I guess, so within 10 or, you know, so many years. And so she had a grandson that apparently, you know, unfortunately, in and out of the system, and this kind of foolishness or not. So the cops caught up with him one day, and I didn't even know that my cousin had been involved, though, but he was in the house because, you know, he was dating a woman or seeing her or something like that. And apparently they caught up with the grandson and started beating him in the doorsill and entered the house still beating him. And, you know, I don't know if they tried to intervene or they just were telling the police, hey, you can't do that or whatever. And the police practically assaulted them or told them, you know, in not so nicer terms to sit down and you know what. And I, you know, this stuff has never happened to me. So it's, and I know that, you know, when you're in these impoverished neighborhoods and when you're, you know, I don't know. I just think, and I've always said this to myself and to others, and, you know, as a teacher of martial art and that sort of thing, I think these guys know what they can get away with and to whom they can get away with it. Now, in this particular young man's case, this guy was only 30 years old, Gregory Vaughn Hill Jr., he was absolutely within his right to close that garage. Now, I don't know about the gun part, the gun piece. I just, you know, it's just mind-boggling. But the other mind-boggling thing about this particular case is the jury awarded, he has three children or four children, $1 a piece. I kid you not. You think that's bad enough? The judge reduced that to zero. I kid you not. And, you know, I don't know the African Americans community. You know, I can't speak on their collective or our collective tolerance for bigotry. But I can tell you, I was done at the Tamir Rice tragedy in Cleveland. You know, cop jumps out of the car. 4 seconds later, the kid is dead. I was done then. You know, forget about Philando Castile and Sandra Bland. And, you know, I can go on and on and on and on. But I was done at that point. So this wholesale killing in our community and these guys getting away with this stuff, you know, is absolutely, you know, it's beyond outrageous. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it should stop. It should have stopped decades ago, because these are just legal issues. So, you know, we talk about, you know, like we were back in the day. And there's a movie that I love, this movie. Every time it comes out, because it has two of my favorite actors in it, Ving Rhames and Elise Neal. So I love both of these actors. And they were love interests in this particular movie, and it's great. It's really great. That's the first time I've seen her. And someone said, man, this woman is stacked. Even though she had on a ship, you know, old in the turn of the century, 18th century, they, you know, very modest. They didn't wear the stuff that women wear today out, you know, in public. So at any rate, you know, you hear people constantly, especially in our community, young hotheads, you know, talk about, man, I wouldn't have tolerated that, or slavery, or lynching. Yes, you're tolerating it now, because we see evidence of these shootings every week, practically, every month. And then, you know, the following month, then you see, you know, a white perpetrator go in there and gun down, you know, dozens of people, and they're feeding, you know, Burger King. I kid you not. You know, a guy down in Mother Emanuel in Charleston, South Carolina, killed all those parishioners, you know. And there was another side to that story that I got to get to, but I just wanted to talk about Mr. Hill and this insult. I don't know what his attorneys are going to do, but at any rate, the kid down there, you know, went in there and gunned down those parishioners, you know, one a sitting state senator and a pastor of that particular church. And they didn't gun him down. They arrested him without incident and promptly took him to a fast food restaurant, Burger King, I believe has been reported, and fed him, you know, Burger King. I mean, this is the stuff of, let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break. We don't have a lot of breaks today because I just spoke through the whole show.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and bumpy. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verb. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here at Marketing Pulpit International. New York, this was yours truly, Dennis Shipman, 10:54 a.m., 65 degrees, partly cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York, 6/11/2018. And We were talking about a couple of issues, you know, namely Chuck Braindead comic Connor Barker, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, being at this summit with North Korea in Singapore, and simultaneously another tragedy that I wanted to talk about, you know, involving a young black man in his house, in his garage. You can't even be in your garage having a cocktail now or having a weapon. I have weapons, and the police know it. In all my homes. And so if they come there, they can believe that Dennis Shipman is going to be armed. I am, and I absolutely have no, I make no bones about it. You come to my property, I will be armed, but I will not be brandishing my weapon under any circumstance. There's no reason to, you know, unless somebody's trying to break in. As a matter of fact, I just invested in a security system, IP cameras for one of my properties, motion activating, that sort of thing. So, you know, because a little incidents of vandalism, and I don't want to blame anyone until I actually caught them on camera actually vandalizing my property, at which point then I would involve law enforcement. Because I have a relationship with them simply because of the community work that I used to. I'm no longer actively involved, but they still know me. So I'm just, you know, you're not even safe in your own house anymore. And I think that, I tell my family, my family members, I said, listen, you know, don't open the door to the police. Don't answer their questions unless you have a medical emergency. That's the only reason. Because if the police are standing outside my door and they don't have either an arrest or a search warrant, I have nothing to say to them. It's that simple. Nothing. Because especially where my homes are, I know all law enforcement there. I make it my business to, you know, to meet with them, and, you know, so they know me, I know them. And there's no reason for a cop to just show up unannounced on my property. There's absolutely no reason for it. And if they do, then, we got to figure out what's going on. It's that simple. So, we're going to see what happens with this summit, but I doubt anything positive comes about from it, simply because the person that's spearheading is too erratic, too dishonest, and too irrational to effect the sort of deal that he's preemptively boasting about. It just is not something that's going to come to pass. My concern, not worry, as I said earlier during the show, is that he's not going to be able to tolerate the negative press that he receives as a consequence of it, and does something precipitous that could launch the entire world into a WW3. That's my fear. All right, so we'll see what happens next week when we come back right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. And follow up on what promises to be a spectacular debacle. So you keep it tuned right here to Marketing Pulpit International.